challenge Rabbi Zuckerman says.
That's right. That's what they're there for. That's why it's best to give, you know, a chumash here with everyone having the art scroll
exactly.
With all the notes on the bottom. That's
all.
Yeah, but Rabbi, it says. All right. So tonight, so this is slightly, but only slightly, off topic from a Shmoneh Esrei shiur, but I would feel like it was would be remiss to give a shiur on tefillah without just talking about what the words Baruch Atah Hashem, what the concept of a bracha is. Tefillah is made up out of 18, 19 brachos, and so it's not really a brachos are not something which are really germane to or specific to tefillah, but they certainly are a part of tefillah. So therefore, I thought it would make sense, or it would not make sense, to not talk about what the concept of a bracha is, what the Baruch Atah Hashem. So we're going to try and discuss tonight just the general idea of what a bracha is, what Baruch means, and then also what the idea of the name of Hashem and what that means in a bracha. And hopefully we'll try and get through of all of that tonight and try and actually put it all together. So to start off, there is a major machlokas rishonim about what the word baruch in the context of a bracha means. And there are two somewhat diametrically opposed schools of thought. It's making me nervous, so I'm closing this. There are two schools of thought. There is what's referred to as that a bracha is tzorech hedyot, or tzorech gvoa, which roughly translated, and these need to be well-defined to not get any misunderstandings, tzorech hedyot is pretty simple, which means that a bracha is for us, is for our own sake. The reason that we make a bracha and the purpose of a bracha is, you know, we're making the bracha, so to speak, towards ourselves. We are declaring that Hashem is baruch. We are not being mevarach Hashem, but we are declaring that Hashem is baruch, that a bracha is tzorech hedyot. The other idea, which we will try and get an understanding of, is what several Rishonim say, this idea that a bracha is tzorech gvoha, that there is in some way, I don't even want to use the word God needs a bracha, but something that you know, we basically, we do something with our brachas. There's something that we are being mevarach as Hashem. So the first idea, the idea of that a bracha is tzorech hedyot is, you know, for us. So a number of Rishonim would talk about this, but just the chinuch in mitzvah Taf Lamed, mitzvah 430. So the chinuch very eloquently goes through this position, and the chinuch basically argues that bracha cannot possibly be for Hashem's sake, that you're giving Hashem a bracha. And you are, you know, like, you know, giving some spiritual gift or something like that to Hashem, because Hashem is Shalem. Hashem is the owner and the master and the source of all brachos, and he can't possibly need anything from us. A bracha is, it's a tehillah, a shevach, it's some kind of praise, and it's a reminder to ourselves that Hashem is the ultimate source of everything. And in that way, the Chinuch says, and echoed by a number of other Rishonim, that the term Baruch is a shem toar. It is a descriptive term. It is an adjective. We are describing Hashem as being Baruch, which means that Hashem is the source of all brachos and is the master of all bracha. And therefore, we, by doing this positive act of acknowledgement, we remind ourselves and we declare that Hashem is the source of all bracha. We're so to speak, declaring that Hashem is the one who is in charge of everything and master of everything, and we can't possibly give him anything. And by doing that positive act of acknowledgement, so we can merit for ourselves to deserve to bring the bracha, which comes from Hashem, to ourselves. And therefore, bracha is really tzorech hedyot. It's something that we are making the bracha for our own sake. We need to say the bracha in order to remind ourselves that Hashem is the baruch, that Hashem is the one who is the source of all brachos. The other idea is the idea, some Rishonim say, that, and we'll get through where they're coming from on this, that a bracha is not merely tzorech edyot, but that a bracha is also tzorech gevoha, that it is, just to use the words, for Shemayim's sake. You're making the bracha, you are being mevarich. Sorry. You are being mevarich Shemayim, or kibiyachol, to say that, well, try and don't want to misunderstand these words, but just, well, you are being mevarich Hashem, you're giving a bracha to Hashem. They bring a proof to this, a fairly strong proof to this, from a Gemara. The Gemara in Baba Metzia, in the end of Perek HaMakabel, the Gemara there says about returning when you take collateral from a poor person, and you give him a loan, and you take as collateral, you take his shirt, right? And it's and the Pasuk says that at night you have to return it to him, or you take his blanket, at night you have to return it to him so he can sleep with it, and it says, V'shachav b'salmaso u'beirachacha, and he will then sleep with his garment, and he will bless you. Says the Gemara that's lafuke, that this comes to exclude yatza hekdesh she'enu tzarech bracha. This excludes hekdesh, that if you borrow from hekdesh that you don't need to return it, or you borrow something of hekdesh, if you take collateral of hekdesh that you don't need to return it, she'enu tzarech bracha. Or that, I'm sorry, that hekdesh is allowed to take the collateral, she'enu tzarech bracha, because hekdesh doesn't need a bracha. The Gemara then asks, v'lo v'haksiv v'achalta v'savatu v'erachta. You shall eat, and you shall be satiated, and you shall bless. The Gemara says, rather, Ella yatza hekdesh she'enu tzarech, it says, l'chati yatzadaka, yatza hekdesh she'enu tzarech l'tzadaka. But the Gemara accepts the point that it is incorrect to say hekdesh is eno tzarech bracha. It says, no, of course hekdesh is tzarech bracha, hekdesh needs to be blessed. And the proof is from V'achalta v'savatu v'erachta, that the Pasuk says that you shall eat and you shall bless as Hashem Elokecha. So the Gemara, Chazal, seem to be taking the Pasuk to mean that you are giving a bracha to Hashem, and that there's some need, quote-unquote, for that bracha. So what exactly is the idea of this, that Hekdesh and that Gevoha needs a bracha? So the Rashba in his Chidushe Agada to Brachos, and the Rabbeinu Bechaya in a number of places, in Karakemach and in Sholchan Shel Arba, so they explain that the concept of a bracha, that the word bracha means riboy v'tosefes, tosefes v'riboy. It means for something to increase, for something to multiply, to become greater. The Rashba, the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, like the word brecha, brechas mayim, he says, is a wellspring which is springing forth and is always constantly putting out more and more. That's the idea of a bracha. The baruch, the word brecha, is to increase, is for something to become greater, to multiply. Examples of psukim where the word baruch clearly does not just mean a praise, like when it says Hashem beirach eslach mecha, Hashem will baruch your bread, does not mean that Hashem is going to praise your bread compliment your bread. It means that Hashem will increase your bread. The word baruch there clearly means to increase. And the number of psukim where you see this idea. The word baruch itself, the shoresh of the word baruch, the letters beis, reish, and chaf, are riboy in its totality. The letters of beis, reish, and chaf is the 2, 2, 2, is 200, is the 2 in the hundreds column, in the tens column, in the ones column. The gematria of the shoresh baruch is 222. The idea of 2 always represents rabim, miut rabim shnayim. When something is plural, plurality is expressed by the number 2. Number 2 is when something is no longer singular, now you've entered plurality, is the number 2. And that's what the whole word baruch represents, that idea of something being more than, of being increased. The whole idea of being more is represented by 2, and that's what bracha is. Bracha is more on every level. And that's the idea of what a bracha is. So how does that apply? Where does that fit in to Shemayim? Where does that fit into what happens when we make a bracha? So we're going to explain this along the lines. The Rashba makes this point. There's a Shla that really says this in certain terms. So I'll explain it the way the Nefesh HaChayim says it. That the Pasuk says, Tenu Oz Lelokim. Right? It says, give strength to Hashem, to God. That Hashem created the world in such a way that our actions make a difference. Hashem, of course, There's imchatas matif albo, that by sinning, you know, you don't harm Hashem by sinning. You don't improve anything by doing mitzvos. You haven't, you know, given anything to Hashem. Hashem doesn't need anything. You can't affect Hashem. Hashem is perfect, and what you do isn't going to, you know, hurt or help him. But at the end of the day, God created the world in such a way that our actions make a difference. Hashem wanted to create a system in which we are able to be zocha, the way in which our lives have meaning, just to, you know, the way the Derech Hashem speaks it out, that God created the world in order to give us good, to be mativ to others, to an entity other than himself. And in order to be mativ to others, the perfect hatava, in order for it to be perfect benevolence, the most fitting way for that to happen is for those who are being given the tov, being given that gift, that they earn it themselves. And therefore, there has to be a system in which you are able to earn, in which you are able to do things which have an impact, which make a difference. And therefore, when I do good, when I am given a reward, I am the creator of that reward. I build that. That's what the Nefesh HaChaim talks about, that when I do mitzvos, I am creating the schar that I will eventually get in Shemayim. I created, I built that through my own mitzvos. My actions actually do something. They actually have, you know, cosmic ramifications, and there are actual results of my actions, and that's critical to being able, that your reward, that the schar, that the tov that Hashem is giving is the perfect tov, that it's something which I earned on my own, and therefore I'm connected to it. I have a bilus, that it's really mine when I get that tov, and therefore, in the words, different commentaries say, the idea of nahama de kisufa, in order that I don't feel the embarrassment of receiving something that I don't really deserve, by being in a position where I can really make a difference, I can really do something, so the schar that I get is a real schar, is a perfect, is a complete schar. And therefore, God set up, created the world in such a way that there's tenu oz Elokim, that through my actions, I, in a certain sense, am increasing the good that God brings into the world, the connection that God has with the world. And the way the Nefesh HaChaim says it is that the idea of a bracha is to bring down the riboy, to bring down the increase of the hashpaos, of the spiritual energy, the influx of spiritual energy into the olamos, into the different spheres of existence. And we, through our actions, through our actions and thoughts and speech, so we are able to bring this spiritual energy into the world. And the idea of a bracha is therefore the idea of chibor, the idea of a connection, that we are basically through recognizing Hashem as the source of the bracha, by giving a bracha to Hashem and recognizing that, you know, borei priya eitz, that you Hashem created the fruit of this tree, we are bringing down a riboy of hashpa through that connection, which brings the bracha into the world, that we increase the connection, we'll use the word proximity, that Hashem has to the Bria, to creation, in such a way that brings down, that when we give a bracha, it brings bracha into the world. And we find this idea that bracha is the idea of a chibor, of connection. You see this in a number of places. The pasuk says, Yivarechecha Hashem mitzion, that Hashem will give you bracha from Tzion. Tzion is always a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, that the bracha comes from the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the place which is the makom chibor, the point of connection of Shemayim and Aretz. That, like Yaakov says when he comes to the makom HaMikdash, he says, Ein ze el ashar ha-shamayim. This is the gate, this is the point of access from here, from Aretz to Shemayim. That's the Beis HaMikdash represents that point of chibor, and bracha comes from there, because that's what bracha is a result of, that chibor, of that connection that the olamos ha'elyonim, that the upper worlds, the spiritual worlds, have to the physical world. The Mabit in Beis Elokim in Perek Beis, so the Mabit there says that we find this theme, that you find a special koach of bracha, a special ability to give a bracha before a person dies, at the point right before a person passes away. You find Yitzchak said to Esav, go get me a tzedah and I will bless you before I die. That the point at which he thought he was going to die, or that he was going to die, that at that point was the point at which it was appropriate to give a bracha. And Yaakov gave the brachos to his children before he died, and Moshe gave the brachos to Klal Yisrael before he died. That there's a special inyan of the bracha that someone gives before they die. So why is there this special koach of bracha at that point, exactly before the person dies? Because that's the point when the nefesh is prepared to reconnect to its source. It's the point of that. Where that reconnection is imminent is the point at which you have the most ability to bring bracha into the world, because that is the source of bracha, is that connection. When that connection is intensifying, as the neshama, as the nefesh prepares to go back up to its source, as it prepares to reconnect, there's the greatest koach of that connection, have the greatest ability to bring a bracha, to give a bracha, and bring that into the world. Shabbos is, we say in Lechadodi, right? Kihi Mekor HaBracha, right? That Shabbos is called the Mekor HaBracha. Shabbos is also the day of the Chibur, of this connection between the physical and the spiritual. You think about it, on Shabbos is the day when you have a Neshama Yaseira, when you get extra Neshama, and it's the day on which you have, there's the mitzvah of Oneg. It's the mitzvah day on which you're supposed to have physical enjoyment. Rashi actually says that on Shabbos you're able to eat more because you have a neshama yisera. Doesn't say that you won't gain weight. It's a Mizanayim L'Torah that says that. But Rashi says that you have the capacity to have more physical involvement because you have more spiritual, because you're on a higher level of spirituality, because the point of Shabbos is that point of the connection of the physical and the spiritual, and therefore Shabbos is the Mekor HaBracha. Bracha comes into the world through Shabbos. That's why one of the ideas that the Orach Chaim says that all of the events of the upcoming week are always celebrated or recognized on the Shabbos beforehand. On the Shabbos before a bris, you have a Shalom Zachar. On the Shabbos before a chasana, you have an Ofruf. On the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, you have Shabbos Mevarchim. You always recognize the events of the upcoming week because the Shefa, the Bracha of the coming week, comes into the world on that Shabbos. The Orach Chaim says that's why the Torah does not say ki bisheshes yamim asa Hashem es haShemayim v'aretz. The pasuk doesn't say that in 6 days God created the Shemayim and Aretz. The pasuk says ki sheshes yamim asa Hashem es haShemayim v'aretz, that God created the world 6 days, which the Orach Chaim says means that God created the world in 6 day units at a time, and each time God created the world, it only goes until the next Shabbos. And then on the next Shabbos, that Shabbos is the creation of the following 6 days. The actual energy of the creation of that following week comes through Shabbos. Shabbos is the Mekor HaBracha. It's the gate through which all of the bracha of the following week comes into the world. That's the access point. It's the point of connection of the Elyonim and Tachtonim of Shemayim and Aretz, is the point at which that bracha can then, that gate opens up and the bracha can come into this world. So that's the idea of a bracha, is this idea of the chibur, of the connection between Shemayim and Aretz, that we are bringing down the hashpa. We are, through our actions, bringing down that spiritual energy that's coming from Shemayim to Aretz, and therefore when we give a bracha, what it means is, obviously, God doesn't need our bracha. But what we are doing is we are activating and enabling Hashem. If he wanted to, he wouldn't need us, but in the system that he set up, we are enabling Hashem that he brings down, to then bring down that hashpa into the world, and we are therefore a critical part of that process of bracha coming into the world. When we make a bracha, it's not just an observation. We're doing something. You are actually becoming a part of the process of bracha coming into the world. So you're not actually giving Hashem a bracha and that now Hashem is greater because of you, that now Hashem, will be able to do good things because you gave him a bracha. But when you are giving a bracha, and that you are creating a tosefes veriboy, you're creating increase, which then is able to come down into the world. So when we're acknowledging Hashem as the source, that the riboy and the bracha of the olamos are from Hashem's connection with the world, and therefore a bracha, in a certain sense, is the bakasha, is the request that Hashem should increase that hashpa in the olamos, and all good in the world comes from Hashem's influx of positive energy into the world. Hashpa, I guess it's a hard word to translate, but and all bad comes from the withholding, with the holding back of that hashpa, of that spiritual influx. That's what the referred to as Ha'aras Panim and Hester Panim, that when God shows his face, so to speak, that's when Tov comes, that's when Bracha comes, and when there's Hester Panim, when Hashem hides himself, that's when we refer to that Klala and tragedy and all of the and all bad comes from that when Hashem is revealing himself, when he's connecting, that's when all Tov comes from that, and when he's hiding himself, all bad comes from that. And davening for Hashem to increase that connection and to, so to speak, to come closer to the Bria, and that's Marbe, that increases the Bracha of the world. I just wanted to correct a little nuance there. When we say that Hashem is coming closer to the Bria, it's really not entirely accurate way to refer to it, because really we're davening that we should come closer to Hashem. Hashem is always, you know, constantly shining his aur. The aur of Hashem is always there, is always being presented, is always available, and it's our choice to, you know, open or close the blinds, that when we move ourselves further, so we turn ourselves away, the result is Hester Panim, because we've been mastier, what we've been, we have pulled ourselves away in such a way that that light is not reaching us, and the hiding is, Hashem hiding his presence is really because we've moved further away. So the idea of Bracha is this idea, on the one hand we have the Tzarech Hedyot, that there's the acknowledgement that Hashem is the source, but on the other hand, we also have this Tzorech Gvoa, that we really are contributing to the process of bringing bracha into the world by making when we make brachos. Rabbeinu Bechaye, in his commentary on Chumash, in Parshas Ekev, in Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud, so Rabbeinu Bechaye there, he says that both of these explanations, he says, Shneem Divrei Elokim Chayim, that Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, and he says that they're both correct. The Rajba, really, the truth is, in a tshuva, in tshuva taf chaf gimel, the Rajba says this idea of the chinuch, that the idea of a bracha is to recognize that Hashem is the source of all bracha, but then in Chidushei Agada, the Rajba says the other idea, that the Rajba says that the bracha is this tosefes v'riboy, is to cause an increase. So there's the idea that both of these ideas are really emes, both of these ideas have truth to them, and they both certainly are a part of what is involved in making a bracha. There's a famous question which a number of Rishonim discuss. You see it most clearly in shorter brachos, but it's true in Shmona Esrei also, that all brachos start out with what we call Lashon Nochach, that you're speaking to Hashem directly as if he is in front of you. You say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you. You don't say, blessed is he. But then you go along in all brachos, the Birkas HaMitzvahs, the easiest place to say it. You say, Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvosav, that he was Mekanish us with his mitzvos. We don't say that you were Mekanish us with your mitzvos, but that we switch from Lashon Nochach, from Hashem being directly facing us, to Lashon Nistar, that Hashem is not that, we're talking in third person. We have it in Shmona Esrei, you don't really see it until a couple lines later in Shmona Esrei, when you say, Umevi Goel Livnei V'Nehem L'Ma'an Shemo Be'ava, you say for the sake of his name, not for the sake of your name, but for the sake of his name. Because by the time you get into the bracha, you're already talking in Lashon Nistar. And a number of Rishonim talk about this issue, and all of them say in different words, basically the same idea, that brachos contain two, every bracha contains in it two elements. That there is the bracha that you're giving, or there's the talking to Hashem, mitzad atzmuso, that is, so to speak, talking to Hashem himself. And then there's mitzad ma'asav, there's the, from the perspective of his interaction with the world, with his actions in this world, with his relationship with the world, with how he interacts with the world. So, mitzad atzmuso, when it comes to Hashem himself, so Hashem himself, in his, the that idea, conceptual existence that we don't really even have the capacity to talk about. But obviously, it's not shaykh, it's not applicable. The idea of Tosefes and Riboy, of increasing Hashem, is the only thing we might even be able to start to talk about, is that Hashem is, of course, Shalem. There's certainly no chisronos, nothing that Hashem lacks, and nothing that we could add to Hashem. He doesn't need the world, he doesn't need our mitzvos, he doesn't need our actions, that he was the just as much was... the, you know, was the whatever words we can even try and use, but as much before the creation as after the creation, that not there's matif alba, there's nothing you could do to make any difference in Hashem himself. And the most, the all we can do when we're talking about is just acknowledge that he is the makar, that he is the adon kol habrachos, and he is the source of everything, and that all of the bracha and all of the shevach and everything is his. The most we can do is acknowledge that fact. And therefore, there's a lashon nistar in brachos there's nothing we can't talk about it. There's it's hidden from us, as opposed to there's also the from the nature of Hashem's interaction with the world, mitzad his maisim, from the acts that Hashem does, from the system that Hashem has to have a relationship with the world, that we also relate to Hashem from our perspective, from the way in which he deals with us and the system in which he created to have a relationship with us, which is obviously something that those two things together are kind of, that's the question that in, you know, the deeper sources refer to as tzimtzum, that's idea that we can't understand, a contraction between an absolute infinite and then creating a finite kind of system of relationship, how those two things fit together. But there are these two things. And there is our relationship with Hashem that comes from his interaction from the world. Hashem set up the world in such a way that he deals with and responds to our actions. And our actions impact the world. And that's the perspective of bracha, that bracha is something that comes from Shemayim, certainly. But bringing that bracha, our bringing that bracha, is part of the system. And therefore, we have the dual perspective in brachos, both elu elu divrei Elokim chayim, that there is the aspect of bracha that we are merely acknowledging that Hashem is the Baruch and the source of all bracha, and there's nothing that we could possibly add on to that. But then there's also that we have a role to play in this world, and that in our relationship with Hashem and the system that Hashem created to deal with us, that we are a partner in that. And then for that we have the lashon nochach, that we have, that we are able to face Hashem, and there's something that we can attempt at least to understand and to relate to, and that's the lashon, that's the aspect of bracha where we are also a participant, we're also part of that relationship. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, says that the terms Hashem Elokim, that they encompass these in every bracha. You say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, the name Hashem and the name Elokeinu encompass these two aspects and all elements of existence, that there's the nistar, that the shem Hashem, yud kei vav kei, is the name that we use to refer to Hashem himself, so to speak, and that's the nistar. And then there's Elokim, there's the how Hashem interacts with the world, the way that Nefesh HaChaim expands on this idea. He says that Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is the name that refers to the source of all kochos. It's above any fragmentation. It's above any the division that's involved in having, you know, a relationship with the world, in which there is, you know, chesed and there is rachamim and there is din and there are all these different things. So that's above that. It's where everything is echad. That's the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, as opposed to Elokim is the name that refers to the specific koach that's brought forth into the world. Elokim is the name associated with din, with judgment, because you have din when you're looking at one specific detail, right? Hashem is the name of Rachamim. It's looking at the whole picture, taking everything into account. You see this idea in Tekiyas Shofar, that the Sfarim say that the Tekiya is Midas HaRachamim, and the Trua is Midas HaDin, and Rosh Hashanah is Yom Trua, is the Yom HaDin, but that the idea of that the tekiya, the pshuta, the one long blast, is rachamim. Because if you look at everything in perspective, if you see the big picture, So it doesn't necessarily mean that everything you do is excusable and you're not responsible for anything you do, but you can at least see, put things in perspective. Rachamim comes from, you know, just to use a mashal ba'alma, you know, he robbed a liquor store. If all I look at is he robbed a liquor store, so that's certainly, you know, that's bad. There's nothing more to say about it. That is a negative, objectively negative thing. If I look at it in the context of that, go from any number of angles, the home he was raised in, or the fact that he's starving and you know, he's needs to feed his family and he has nothing else, and the education that he got was not something that taught him that this is, you know, and you put everything into a picture. So that doesn't mean that it's okay, but suddenly it's, you know, there's room for rachamim. There's room for that. I see everything in a bigger picture that, okay, this is one part of a bigger picture. So the name of Din, the name of Elohim, is that looking at things in a vacuum. That's the trua, is a broken sound. Each part of the sound is its own piece, as opposed to the tekiah is one long sound where everything is part of a bigger picture. So the same idea, the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei is the name of Chesed, is the name where there is no fragmentation. It's before there's any separation of anything. And that's the certain dimension of that nature of Hashem's existence, which is before you get into the divisions that are necessary to have a finite physical world. As opposed to Elohim is the kochos, it's the force in charge of all of the kochos of this world, but it's already there are individual kochos and individual points. One last point on this point, which is that when we say Lashon Nochach, we say Baruch Atah Hashem, we say Blessed are you Hashem, and we say Atah, and we say you. And Nefesh HaChaim emphasizes that it's important that we understand that when we daven, that you know, might have heard, you know, in the popularity of Kabbalah today, there's this thing called Sphiros. So that the Nefesh HaChaim says you have to know that we don't daven to the Sphiros. We don't, you know, that the Mekubalim talk about that in this bracha, you're mechavin for this sphera, and in this bracha, you're for this sphera, and this sphera through that. However, it is in all the things. Nefesh HaChaim says that you're not davening to the spheros. You're always davening to you, Hashem. You're always talking directly to Atzmuso, to it's as much as you can talk to, but that you're always the you're talking directly to Hashem Himself. And the Nefesh HaChaim really ties back into what we said before. You're talking to Hashem at that point of His chibor with the world. Because that's what we talked about a moment ago, that's where bracha comes from. But that you're talking to Hashem Himself. You're not davening to the spheros. Spheros are you know, in a certain sense, like prisms through which the bracha is channeled. The mashal that the Rivash gives is, you know, if you wanted to ask the king for bread, so if you talk to the Saramashkim, if you talk to the wine minister, you're not going to get the bread. And if you want wine, you talk to the Sara Ofim, you talk to the bread, to the baker, to the head baker, you're not going to get the wine. So when you talk to Hashem, using the Spheros is like, when I want bread, I say, please ask the bread guy to give me the bread. So when you use, in the different aspects of tefillah, we daven simply, like the way the Mishnah Berurah says, even if you know the secrets and all things, we don't worry about all that stuff. We just, you know, we daven on a, you know, straightforward. But the whole idea of the spheros is always that you're talking to Hashem. There might be that you want to direct your tefillah to, you know, a certain department, that Hashem should, you know, send the order down the chain through a certain department, whatever it is. But it's always Baruch Atah Hashem. You're always talking directly to Hashem. Is it okay if we go one more minute? One more minute. So just because this connects also. So the Baruch Atah Hashem, so there's this word that we have which is spelled Yud Kei Vav Kei, but that's not how we pronounce it at all. It's vowelizing that word. Anyway, you're not supposed to try and pronounce that word. But you have this Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's not the name we pronounce. And then we have the word that we say, which is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the Shem Adnus. So there's two kavanas when you say the Shem Hashem that you're supposed to have when you say Hashem's name. You're supposed to have two things in mind. You're supposed to have the way we pronounce it, Ado, that means master, my master. And then you have Yud Kei Vav Kei, which means Hashem being eternal and absolute. If you look at the word, at the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei, if you take the word Haya, the word Hoveh, and the word Yihyeh, and you overlap them over each other, you will end up with Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Yud Kei Vav Kei is the transposition of Hayahuva the Yiyya into one word. And that's the other kavana that you have, the kavana that Hashem is absolute, is the source of all existence, and is Chai v'kayom. And just, however, when we say the word, we say it differently than we pronounce it. And this is the Gemara discusses this. The Gemara says that based on the pasuk in Shmos, Gimel Tesvav, the pasuk there says, Zeh Shmi La'olam. Basically, the Gemara there says that Bayomahu Yih Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. That on that day, Yih Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, Hashem will be one, and His name will be one. And the Gemara says Atu Akshav, that His name is not one. Hashem's not one, His name is not one. The Gemara says, yeah, that today when something bad happens, you make a bracha of Baruch Dayan Emes, and when something good happens, you say a Tova Meitiv. But in that world, when everything is revealed, you'll only make a bracha of HaTova Meitiv on everything. Even that which seems bad is only because we don't understand how everything is really called Avid Rachman Latavahu Avid, that everything that Hashem does is obviously for the good. But when we're in this world, you can't see it that way. And then the Gemara goes and says, what does it mean that right now His name is not one? The Gemara says, because lo kemosha ani nichtav ani nikra, that I'm not read, my name is not read the way that it's written. The pasuk says, zeh shmi la'olam, that this is my name, la'olam means forever. The word la'olam is written missing a vav. And the Gemara says that it means Zeshmi le'alim, to be hidden. And says that therefore the name of Hashem is hidden and we don't pronounce it as it is written. So just to understand this, the idea is not that since the one name is too holy to pronounce it, so we pick a different name to substitute. So the name Yudke Vavke, that one's, you know, way too holy for us, so we chose a different one to say instead. The one name, the name Yudke Vavke, is not pronounced because it cannot be pronounced. It can't be represented properly in this world. That name represents something. It's Hayahov Eviyah. It's something which is beyond the constraints of space and time. The only time that it's pronounced as it's written is by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh Kedashim, in the place which is beyond the constraints of space, like the Gemara says that if the Kodesh Kedashim, it says if you would measure it from wall to wall, that it was 20 amos long. But if you would measure it from wall to wall, it was 10 amos long. But if you would measure it from the wall to the side of the Aron HaKodesh, and then from the Aron HaKodesh to the other side of the Aron HaKodesh, and then from the other side of the Aron HaKodesh to the other wall, you would get 20 amos. Just a geometrical impossibility. It was not subject to the constraints of space. That place, there was just a logical impossibility that there was. That place is beyond the constraints of space, and is a day which is beyond the constraints of time. Something we'll talk about sometime later. But the Yom Kippurim is the day of tshuva. Tshuva is really the idea that you're not subject to what happened in the past. That you can change the spiritual reality of what happened in the past. And that's on that one day and that one time, which is beyond the constraints of space and time, is the only time when the name of Yudke Vavke can make its way into this world. But other than that, that there is no way to represent that name in this world. It's a name, it's a message which is beyond the constraints of space and time, beyond the constraints of the world. And the way in which that idea is manifest in the world, the way that that idea can be represented in the world, is the name that we pronounce, which is that we say that Hashem is Adon, that He's the master of everything, that the way in which that idea, that He's Hayahova V'yia, that He's beyond this world, is beyond the constraints of space and time, the only way that that can be translated into the terms of this world is that He is the master of everything, that He is in control of everything. And that's, again, these two ideas, that there's the two ideas in bracha. You have to have both kavanas when you say Shem Hashem. It's not ma'akev. The le'ikuva is the kavana for Adon, that He is for Adonis, for that He's the that He's your master. But ideally, you're supposed to have both of them in mind, because the idea of bracha is both of these ideas. That's that Hashem is the Adon, is that he's in this world, he's the in charge of everything, that but it's within this world. But then there's an aspect of bracha which is beyond anything that I can relate to. There's an aspect which Hashem is lamala from anything that we can possibly understand. He's high Ahova, yeah, he's beyond the constraints of this world, and that's the other kavana and bracha, where we're, all we can do is merely observe that Hashem is the source of all bracha and that he's above anything else that we can discuss. Okay, I think that's as far as we're going to get tonight, but we'll pick up. Next week is Shavuos, so we'll be off, but pick up in 2 weeks.
All right.